do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, and thank you to everybody for joining us here at the Guy James Show this afternoon. So glad to have you along with us. We'll try and provide you with a great show today, and we hope you'll give us a call. 866-546-5254 is the toll-free number. 866-546-5254. And, of course, those of you living in Washington, D.C., you can call our Washington Bureau number, 202-370-6153. And our Phoenix Bureau in Phoenix, Arizona, 623-444-5252. And, of course, you can all use the toll-free number. So, give us a call today. We'd love to hear from you. We've got a lot to talk about today. My goodness, another eventful day. But with Scotty and, well, first of all, Scotty gone by the wayside. That little punk, Scotty McClellan. Is anybody going to miss him? I don't think I will. A little cherub-faced guy who liked to go out there and initially pretend that he was little Mr. Innocent in all this mess. How can you do that job? Not just for this administration, but for any administration. How can you go out there every single day and sell your soul to the devil for money, for some sort of phony allegiance to a guy sitting in the Oval Office that you portend to be some sort of a god every single day? How can you do that? I couldn't do it for any president. I couldn't go out there every day and spin and twist and bob and weave and avoid real questions. I just couldn't do it. Sooner or later, you'd have to say, all right, I'll answer your questions, and then actually answer them. Wouldn't that be refreshing? Wouldn't that be something to go into a press conference, not just from this administration, any administration, and get a straight answer to a good question? Well, anyway, Scotty's going bye-bye, and it looks like maybe Tony Snow? Really? Tony Snow? A lot of people are thinking Tony Snow might take that job? Tony Snow being considered for press secretary? Tony Snow of Fox Network? Would that be the same Tony Snow who helped Fox News push the Swift Boat veterans story against John Kerry? Hell, why not? You know, when you stop and think about it, why not just move Fox News headquarters into the West Wing? Build on the White House complex and put in a new studio for the Fox Ministry of Propaganda. That's what Fox News is, after all, the Ministry of Propaganda for the Bush administration. And really, I'm serious. I can't think of a better replacement for Scotty than Tony Snow. He'll suck up to Bush. He'll lie for him. He'll cover for him. He'll be good at it. And the bonus for the administration is that he'll bring an already made office, audience, already made custom tailored audience with him. Bring all that right along for the president's idiocy. Bring it right along with him. And I can't help but think about those poor, deluded, misguided, ignorant suckers who claim Fox as their news source. You ever think about them? Fox, Newsmax, even the Drudge Report. These are the same people who saw Jeff Gannon as Jeff Gannon as a legitimate reporter. All the freepers are over there praying. Really, the freepers are praying for Tony Snow to get that job. Well, Tony, go for it. I'm all for it. Take the job. Anything that you can do to further prove to the public that a bunch of rabid dog neocons are running amok in the Junior Bush administration, take the job, Tony. Take the job. I hope you do. I think it would be wonderful. And as long as we're talking about Tony just for a moment, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about Tony Snow, but Think back about some things that Snow's done. Snow falsely asserted that former ambassador Joe Wilson said his wife Valerie Plame wasn't covert. Snow said that. He put forth a lot of falsehoods. Well, he claimed Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the most liberal justice in American history. Absolutely not true. He tried to sell the RNC committee talking point that John Kerry had blamed U.S. troops for the explosives looted from the Al-Qaeda military installation. He tried that one. He distorted Kerry's stated desire to reduce terrorism to a horrible nuisance over and over and over again. So, yes, Tony, take the job. And Junior Bush, give Tony the job. I'm begging you, give that job to Tony Snow. I want Tony Snow for the job. I think we should all call the White House. Call the White House switchboard. I'm sorry I don't have the number here right now. But let's call the White House switchboard and put in our 2 cents worth for Tony Snow to become the new press secretary. And then we hear Karl Rove has got his wings clipped a bit today. What do you suppose this is? Are these a couple of rats jumping off the ship that's sinking? Or have they been pushed out to save their own asses, save the administration? Because both of them are involved in maybe the Valerie Plame deal. Who knows? Who knows? I really would love to know what's going on there. And we'll find out. We find out that this administration is just as good at leaking as anybody else. And we're back. We're sorry we weren't with you yesterday. We had this allergy thing going on. Jeez. I hope to get that over with soon. Doctor filled me full of medications and all that, and seems to be a little better today. Never been faced with that. I asked the doctor a stupid question yesterday. I said, why, at my age, would I all of a sudden get an allergy? He says, because you're human. He said, people 90 years old come in here that have never had an allergy and all of a sudden get one. Plus, you live in a tropical climate. Allergies are rampant here. I never paid much attention to it, but I guess it's true. So we've had our little bout with that, and we've had our cupboard full of medicine now. We hope it takes effect here soon. I couldn't sleep Monday night. The allergy thing's been keeping me awake at nights. And I was watching the news about people lining up at the post offices all across America to get their tax returns in before that that dreaded midnight deadline. And I was thinking that instead of seeing all the sour-looking faces, we ought to be smiling about doing our patriotic duty by paying our taxes. So you ask, Guy, why should we be smiling about paying our taxes? Simple. Really? Paying taxes should be a sign that we all had a good year and we're willing to pay our fair share to pay America's bills. Somebody's got to pay our bills, our national defense, our health care programs, our roads, our schools, our infrastructure, everything a wealthy, prosperous nation like ours needs. We should all be proud to be shareholders in this great big corporation that is the United States of America. Really, I feel that way. But instead, we see people angry, worried, terrified, frustrated. Just not too many people happy about paying their taxes nowadays. And why not? I think we've truly reverted back to the pre-American revolutionary days of taxation without representation. Honestly now, how many of you feel that your government truly represents your wishes? How many of you think your elected officials are doing what the general public wants regarding Junior Bush's war? How many of your elected officials are doing anything at all about America losing millions of jobs overseas and down to Mexico? We know the majority of Americans want universal health care. Are any of your representatives doing anything about that? Now, I know my audience, and I know a good 90% of my audience are Democrats, so you're not likely to have your elected representatives doing anything you like at all. But to be fair, when they've had the chance, Have the Democrats done anything meaningful in the last decade or so to help the average guy? Not really. Why? Because the Republicans, in one way or another, have an iron grip on the government of this country right now, and it's going to be damn tough to get them out of office. They own the Capitol building, the White House, the Supreme Court, most governorships, the majority of state houses, federal judgeships, practically the whole ball of wax. Their influence is so pervasive at the moment that even if we sweep them out of Congress and the White House, they're still going to wield the big stick for a couple of decades to come. My big question is, what are the Democrats going to do about any of this? What are they doing now? What are the Democrats' plans for the future? What are the Democrats going to do about the war? What are the Democrats going to do about health care? What are the Democrats going to do about Social Security, the budget deficit, the massive trade deficit? What are the Democrats going to do about the globalization problem? Have the Democrats figured out that only the wealthy are making money off of globalization? Have they figured out that it's the working class that's working more hours, being paid, you know, they're being more productive than ever and making less? Do the Democrats have a plan to save American jobs? Frankly, I'm not hearing anything from our elected Democrats. Why not? Now, I'm smart enough to know that the DNC, the DLC, the Florida Democratic Party, and the folks like that are not going to call on me anymore and fill me in on their plans. But I do see their press releases every day, and I don't see a damn thing from them about solving the problems of the poor working stiffs out here in the hinterlands outside of the Beltway. It just isn't happening. What would you call it? This we're not them mantra coming from the likes of Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and the other Democrats in leadership positions just isn't going to fly. Sure, we'll have the Democratic base behind us come the fall elections, but what about the independents and the Republicans who are fed up with Junior Bush? Are they going to take a chance on John McCain, Giuliani, Romney, or some other slick-talking, well-financed Republican who promises to do better? Or are they going to cast their vote for a Democrat who's backed by a party who doesn't have the slightest idea where they're going? What would you do in their shoes? What would you do if you're a disenchanted Republican right now or an independent? You know, we've got to face the fact the Democrats are acting like a bunch of jackals waiting around to pick the bones of the Republicans when they fail. And as far as I can see, our party is offering nothing new for the voters. They're inspiring no confidence whatsoever. It's another one of those things, the lesser of two evils, the way a lot of voters see it. What about the voters who don't take politics as seriously as you and I? Are they going to get excited by another John Kerry or another wimpy campaign like the one Al Gore ran? Don't get me wrong here. I love both of those guys. But you have to admit that their campaigns had all the flair and excitement of a couple of wet mops. They were both put to sleep by a vicious, nasty, take-no-prisoners campaign run by people who refused to lose. Sure, they won by playing dirty. They played dirty politics from the outset. The swift voting of Kerry, the rotten things they said about Al Gore, the nonstop lies and distortions of the records of both of those fine men, and finally, the undeniable fact that they absolutely stole the election in 2000 and likely in 2004 as well. And what did we do about it? Anybody care to tell me what we've done about any of that? Oh yeah, we've been pissing and moaning for 4 years, but where's it gotten us? Nowhere that I can see. The only reason we're ahead in the polls right now is because of the massive fraud and corruption carried out by the Bush administration. Karl Rove and Cheney and DeLay and a dozen other thieving bastards who end up in federal prisons until Junior Bush pardons them. Hell, he might even need a pardon himself. And speaking of that, something I want to seriously talk to you about today. I'm seeing a hesitancy on the part of leading Democrats to come right out and say that if we win back the House and the Senate, will investigate this administration to the ends of the earth and do every damn thing possible in our power to convict them and throw them in prison where they belong. Already, I'm hearing from Democrats, well, we don't want to sound angry. Remember what happened to the Republicans after they impeached Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, hell. Bill Clinton's so-called crime isn't even worth mentioning next to the escapades of Junior Bush and his gang. These guys are genuine, bona fide, malicious criminals. Criminals. Yes, criminals who belong in jail. And what are the Democrats doing about it? Well, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't say too much about it. Maybe a censure might be a good thing, but I don't even want to say much about that because, you know, people, they don't like it if we say that. So what do the real Democrats do about this situation? We can't just forsake the party and start over again. Realistically, this is a two-party system, and it will stay that way for decades to come. We can't abandon the party and start a new one. No, sir, we have to revamp this party. We have to give this baby a new paint job and a major overhaul. And as I see the problem with the Democratic Party, and this doesn't make me any friends in the halls of the DNC and the Florida Democratic Party offices, believe me. The problem is that we're mired in the mud, held down by political practices and political party hacks that have to be thrown the hell out. And I'm talking about starting with the most local committeemen and women all the way up to the state committeemen and women, the DNC delegates, all the way to the top. They all have to go. That is, unless they're willing to listen to us. Yes, us. We've got to convince them that we are the party. They are not. We are the ones out here manning the phone banks and knocking on doors and donating our hard-earned money while ready, you know, a whole lot of them occupy their comfy jobs and rub elbows with the big shots and hope for their piece of the pie if we take back political offices all the way up the ladder. That's how it is, folks. Most of them don't give a tinker's damn about what we want. They have their own little private club. They know what's best. They'll decide how to spend the party's money. They'll decide what issues are important to us. They will lose. They will find a way to lose this next election. You mark my word, if they don't change their ways and give this party over to the people who really own it, you and I, they will find a way to lose. Let's face it, the Republicans can't win elections. They can win elections. Oh, yes, the Republicans can win elections, but they don't know how to govern. The Democrats can govern just fine, but they've forgotten how to win elections. The Republicans have systematically dismantled almost everything the Democrats have achieved over the last few decades, and they've done it in a short amount of time. And you can bet your hind end that they'll overturn the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act if they thought they could get away with it. Why do you think the Solid South turned Republican after the Civil Rights Act? Maybe you don't like to hear me say that, but I'm saying it, and you know exactly what I mean when I say it. I'll say it again. If the Republicans had a chance tomorrow to rescind the Civil Rights Act, they would do it in a heartbeat, and you know that's true. The Republican agenda is not the agenda of mainstream America. Somehow they've convinced the poor Southerners that government can do nothing for them, so let's work on values. What right-wing Republicans say are American values? Oh, the gays, the prayer in school, the abortion, paying poor black folks in any kind of public assistance. The right-wing Republican power brokers who have an iron-fisted control over their party have convinced the poor Southerners that the government can't do a damn thing to improve their lives, but the government can come into people's bedrooms and classrooms. They preach against big government to get to votes, but at every opportunity, they're all for intruding into people's lives. government intrusion into people's lives? Can you say Patriot Act? Doesn't that very name sound great? Patriot Act? It's so wonderfully patriotic to be for the Patriot Act. When the cold hard truth is, should be called the Unpatriotic Act because of the possible infringement upon innocent Americans' lives. Do you know that the Republican Party, the party that's actively worked against unions, workers' rights, civil rights, worked against almost everything that might help the working man, the same party who, when faced with a choice between voting for the little guy or the big business, has always chosen to help the fat cat over the little guy? Do you know that? Knowing this, can anyone tell me how Junior Bush carried 26 of the lowest 28 states in per capita income? I'll tell you how they've done it. They've spent a fortune, hundreds of millions of dollars in two or three decades setting the whole thing up. The Coors family, the Koch family, the Scaife family, the Olins, the Richardsons, the Bradleys. These people funded the right-wing machine to the tune of over $1 billion to pay for think tanks and propaganda to take the power back in this country. And it worked, and the Democrats are on the outside looking in. Now, I'm not saying that we need to adopt the unethical, immoral, and in some cases illegal tactics of the right-wing political machine. I'm not saying that at all. I am saying, however, that we, you and me, we have to take our party back from this bunch of hacks who have control of it right now. And if that doesn't work, we have to hit the streets like never before. I fully understand. I don't have a huge audience of a Limbaugh. I know that we Democrats are at a severe disadvantage with our little megaphone compared to their giant public address system. I know that. But we've done it before. We have history on our side. The people put enough pressure on Congress to clean up the Richard Nixon mess. The people most definitely ended the Vietnam War over the objections of the frothing at the mouth hawks who would still be fighting that war if they had their way. These same people would nuke Iran tomorrow if they had a chance. And so ultimately, it is up to the people. We can do this. We must do this. We must start a national campaign made up of Democrats, independents, and disenchanted Republicans. People who love their country. And put that love of country and flag above any partisan politics. I can't stress this enough. I spend a lot of time thinking about it. We have to organize. We have to put a stop to this madness that's overtaken this country. If we have to take to the streets, then by all means, let's start organizing the largest march for peace in our history. I'm not proud of this nation the way I once was. I still love her as much as ever, but Lady Liberty is sick and we the people have got to save her. We need to all understand that this election year will be like no other. We're fighting for the soul of this nation. We're fighting for the future of this nation. And I honestly believe if we don't win this fight, there might not be much of a future. At least not the kind of future we'd hope for. I hope you'll take what I say seriously. We've got to get to work. I don't see anything happening from the Democrats. Do you? I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. Somebody asked a question earlier today on the Democratic Underground Forum, have you ever voted for Republican? Yes, I did. One time. One time in my life I voted for a Republican. He was in a local election. It was a relative running for county engineer. One time, never again. Because I've come to realize over the years, and especially over the last 4 or 5 years, that if you stand for the values of the Republican Party, if you're willing to count yourself as a Republican, if you're willing to take on what they believe is good and right for America, then you're most certainly wrong for me. Well, I hope you'll give us a call, 866-546-5254. Give us a call, and we'll be back in just a moment or two.
Abandonment and abuse are not acts of God, but of George W. George W. Bush can destroy you. And make no mistake about it. And you know what? Don't mess with Bush. Don't mess with Bush. George W. Bush is not the answer. We have common sense. A 100 years from now, we'll reduce taxes. Don't mess with Bush. Mess with Bush. And I committed grown-up crimes because I needed it to get tough. Americans in need are strangers who refuse to accept good news about our economy. And America's armed forces need drugs and alcohol to fulfill the mission. My dad must be held accountable for all the homeless. We're proud of you. We're coming home. Don't mess with Bush. Mess with Bush. As governor, I make bad decisions. If you give me your trust, I will destroy you. Not to confront problems, pass them on to others. Low-income Americans 30 or 40 years in jail. America will be proud to have depression and war. George W. Bush did nothing for everyone. Is there hope for me? Do I have a chance? And frankly, no way. Don't mess with Bush. Don't mess with Bush. Everybody loves you, and so do I. And don't believe a word of it. And make drugs available and affordable for everyone. And I cannot...
And Georgie can go on all day long, can he? I get a kick out of the guy that made those. Pretty doggone good at it, I think. And we thank you for sending those to us. 866-546-5254. I'm going to get to the phone in just a moment. There are fun parts about doing what I do here. And I'm about to read you one. You hear from some of the, I don't know, I don't know what to call these people. Some of the wackiest people. You wonder whether you should be afraid of them, or just pity them. You wonder how to feel about some of these people because you don't know them. All you know is what they write. and sometimes that's deceiving. But I got this email today from somebody here locally, I believe. Well, absolutely somebody here locally, by the name of J.H. Powelson. J.H. Powelson. And it says, "Hi, guy. Recently, I began wondering why I was no longer hearing commercials on WINK radio for your show. Last year, I began praying in earnest on Saturday evenings as you were going on air, and many other times throughout the day, that the Lord would silence you and remove you from the airwaves. In the name of Christ, I bound you on heaven and on earth and decreed you silenced from preaching your left-wing, anti-American, anti-Christian hate propaganda on the radio in Southwest Florida." Man, this is some serious stuff. "I just realized my prayers have again been answered. I serve a just God who answers the prayers of those who love him and worship him. Once I heard you blaspheme God by saying Jesus was a liberal. I'm still laughing about that one." Well, well, well. "Regards, J. Powelson." Well, well, well. I tell you, we do get some interesting letters in that one. You know, I get a mental image of that. I do. I get this mental image of that. Someone down on their knees praying, "Please stop Guy James from saying what he's saying. Dear God, I don't agree with what he says. And I'm going to be judgmental enough to think that you don't agree with what he says, too. I'll think for you, God, if you don't mind. And so I want you to help me out here and take him off the air." Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. We do get some crazies around here. And they all fit in, you know, they fit into the categories. And I figured out a long time ago, and there's somewhere, if you'll indulge me for about a minute, and then I'll get to the phones. There's about eight basic kinds of Republicans, if you think about it. And I think you all know all eight of these kind of Republicans. You've got your tough guy who likes to brag that he's going to kick every liberal's ass. He's the one, you know, with the shotgun rack in the back. You know that guy. And then you got your rich Republican who thinks any kind of class warfare is treason. And then you've got your old holdovers, and we've all had relatives like this. I know I did. They're gone now. But holdovers from the Roosevelt era that hated Roosevelt with a passion because he pulled the country out of a Republican mess and didn't mind letting them know about it. And then you got your... And I'm afraid we've got our share of these around here. You got your redneck Republican, who are probably the most obnoxious ones of all, because their stupidity is absolutely appalling. And then, here's my favorite, we got your wannabe rich Republican. Now, these are the ones that really take the cake. The wannabe rich Republicans who think that if they keep on voting Republican, they'll become fabulously wealthy like the Rockefellers and Richard Mellon's Gates of the world. And then you've got your absolutely evil Republicans like your Dick Cheney. Certainly Dick Cheney is evil, even beyond evil in my book. And then you've got your sheep who are stupid enough to live by the sound bites they hear on Fox News. And last but certainly not least is your radical fundamentalist. And I think we just heard from one of those a moment ago. You got your evangelical Christian Republicans who've taken stupidity and ignorance to a whole new level. So when you stop and think about all your Republican friends or acquaintances that you know, you work with or whatever, you know they fit in one of those categories, for sure. Let's see here. I think we're going to go to the phone. Yes, who have we got with us this afternoon? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Guy?
Yes.
You really tell it like it is.
We try to.
One Democrat, I've been... growing to respect most lately is Al Gore. He is sounding like you, Guy. The Republicans lie and cheat every way they can. You know, I really enjoyed his talk. He was so positive, and that made me feel good.
Well, you know, there's something interesting about Al Gore going on right now, too, that not a lot of people know, I'm sure. He has hired a couple of his campaign people that helped him in his campaign, he has very recently hired them back, and they're saying that they're there to help him with his environmental issues and all, but I have to wonder if they're not exploring the possibility of running for office again. I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
I personally would be proud to have Al Gore run again.
Right. Well,
and you're right. He has done a wonderful job. I think he ran a terrible campaign when he ran. I think he let people tell him what he ought to say and what he ought to be. But since he's been the real Al Gore since that time, I think he's been absolutely magnificent in every single speech that I've heard and everything that he's said. I think he's been right on target.
I've been very proud of him.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, my dear, and I want you to know
I'll do my little bit.
Well, thank you, and I consider it a great compliment that you said I sound like Al Gore. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, Al has hired a couple of his former staffers that helped him in his campaign, and I know, and you know how politicians are. They like to tell those little white lies. Oh no, I'm not running, but. I wouldn't be surprised if Al Gore came riding in on a big white horse and started acting like the conscience of the Democratic Party. He's been talking like the conscience of the real conscience of the Democratic Party for some time now. And I was, like so many of you, terribly hurt when he gave his concession speech way back when. And I listened to that, and it was so eloquent and so well said and straight from the man's heart. And I listened to that, and I thought, my God, Al, why didn't you talk like that during the campaign? Why did you listen to the pollsters? Why did you listen to some of these campaign so-called professionals that think they know what to do? Admittedly, a lot of these people do know what to do. They're professionals. They know the heartbeat of America. They know the nuances of political life. But sometimes they're so out of touch with reality. And we know for a fact they were out of touch with reality in the Al Gore campaign. Now here we had a candidate who was completely clean, snow white. Nothing to get him on from an ethics or a bad standpoint whatsoever. So they couldn't really do a terrible smear job on him. He was, without question, experienced. A good moral man. He was a great candidate. And I think his candidacy was so poorly run, it was the worst campaign that I've ever seen. That's my opinion, and I know some of you don't agree with that necessarily, but I do believe Al Gore's campaign was the worst political campaign I've ever seen. Maybe going back to Eugene McCarthy days, I don't know. But here we had a man following 8 years of peace and prosperity, a great candidate, and we let this usurper come in and take that job. And yes, they stole it. But it shouldn't have been close. It shouldn't have been close enough to steal. It should not have even come down to Florida. And I wonder how many other states they were prepared to do that in. Do you know? We know they were ready in Florida. I wonder how many other battleground states, close states, were they ready to jump on and take. I suppose we'll never know. We're going to have a candidate on in a week or so. We're going to do our black box voting show, and we're going to have a candidate now that's going to come out and spill the beans on some of this, and we'll announce who that is and when we're going to do that in the next day or so. I know many of our listeners are looking forward to that program, and we're going to do it. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to give us a call. I hope you will. I had somebody send me this the other day. We've got this divide between liberals and conservatives, and I've seen this before. Maybe some of you haven't, and I thought it worthy of reading on the program. I don't like to read big, long, lengthy things, but this will only take a moment or two, and I think you'll enjoy it. Every time they get up and talk like liberal is a dirty word, and as you well know, I'm not going to forsake that word, that label. If you want to call me a liberal, call me a liberal. That's what I am. I am also progressive, but first and foremost, I am a liberal Democrat. I will not run from that, not ever. I will not allow the political opposition to denigrate the name liberal, and I will not run from it. I am proudly liberal. You can always remember that about Guy James. I will not run from the title liberal and say, well, no, don't call me liberal. Call me progressive. Well, of course, all liberals are progressive. But I am unabashedly liberal. Well, anyway. So I got this, and, you know, it came from someone unnamed, and I'll just say it's called Thank a Liberal. Joe gets up at 6 a.m. to prepare his morning coffee. He fills his pot full of good, clean drinking water because some liberals fought for minimum water quality standards. He takes his daily medication with his first swallow of coffee. His medications are safe to take because some liberal fought to ensure they're safe and work as advertised. And all but $10 of his medications are paid for by his employer's medical plan because some liberal union workers fought their employers for paid medical insurance. Now Joe gets it too. He prepares his morning breakfast, bacon and eggs this day. Joe's bacon is safe to eat because some liberal fought for laws to regulate the meatpacking industry. Joe takes his morning shower, reaching for his shampoo. His bottle is properly labeled with every ingredient and the amount of its contents because some liberal fought for his right to know what he is putting on his body and how much it contained. Joe dresses, walks outside, and takes a deep breath. The air he breathes is clean because some tree-hugging liberal fought for laws to stop industries from polluting our air. Joe walks to the subway station for his government-subsidized ride to work. It saves him considerable money in parking and transportation fees. You see, some liberal fought for affordable public transportation, which gives everyone the opportunity to become a contributor. Joe begins his workday. He has a good job with excellent pay, medical benefits, retirement, paid holidays, and vacation days because some liberal union member fought and died for these working standards. Joe's employer pays these standards because Joe's employer doesn't want his employees to call the union. If Joe is hurt on the job or becomes unemployed, he'll get a workers' compensation or unemployment check because some liberal didn't think he should lose his home because of his temporary misfortune. It's noontime. Joe needs to make a bank deposit so he can pay some bills. Joe's deposits are federally insured by the FSLIC because some liberal wanted to protect Joe's money from unscrupulous bankers who ruined the banking system before the Depression. Joe has to pay his Fannie Mae underwritten mortgage and his below-market federal student loan because some stupid liberal decided that Joe and the government would be better off if he was educated and earned more money over his lifetime. Joe is home from work. He plans to visit his father this evening at his farm home in the country. He gets in his car for the drive to Dad's. His car is among the safest in the world because some liberal fought for car safety standards. Joe arrives at his boyhood home. He was the third generation to live in the house financed by Farmers Home Administration because bankers didn't want to make rural loans. The house didn't have electric until some big government liberal stuck his nose where it didn't belong and demanded rural electrification. Those rural Republicans would still be sitting in the dark. And Joe's happy to see his dad, who's now retired. His dad lives on Social Security and his union pension because some liberal made sure he could take care of himself so Joe wouldn't have to. And after his visit with Dad, he got back in his car for the ride home. Joe turns on a radio talk show. The host keeps saying that liberals are bad and conservatives are good. He doesn't tell Joe that his beloved Republicans have fought every protection and benefit Joe enjoys throughout the day. Joe agrees, we don't need those big government liberals running our lives. After all, I'm a self-made man who believes everyone who should take good care of themselves just like I have. And that was sent to us by John Gray of Cincinnati, Ohio. Thank you, John. Appreciate having that from you very, very much. And it does tell the truth, doesn't it? You could take Drug Junkie Limbaugh's listeners and put most of them right in that category, that guy right there that piece talked about, most certainly. Hey, we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Let's try to get it right this time. Cut out the bullshit, stop lying, tell the truth. Don't be aloof. Come on, man, we've got the proof. Try to get it right this time. Too many good guys doing time. Too many lives on the line. Try to get it right this time. You say you've got a master plan. You're gonna save the world. You tell it on television. You tell every boy and girl. Say you're gonna take out the bad guys, make this world a better place. Don't spit in the wind, George, it just might blow back in your face. Let's try to get it right this time. Cut out the bullshit, stop lying, tell the truth. Don't be aloof, come on man, we've got the proof. Try to get it right this time. Too many good guys doing time. Too many lives on the line. Try to get it right this time. Up the railways and the roads, win the war on heroin, but you still let the poppies grow. Your railway lines are breaking up, your roads are broken too. So come on, Georgie Porgy, what are you gonna do? Let's try to get it right this time. Cut out the bullshit, stop lying, tell the truth. Don't be aloof, come on man, we've got the proof. Try to get it right this time. Too many good guys doing time. Too many lives on the line. Try to get it right this time. Now, you're not in the real world. You're in a political trap. Bulletproof glass and bodyguards. A branch about to crack. I mean, how many more times are you gonna lie? Didn't your mama tell you? Lying ain't right. Let's try to get it right this time. Cut out the bullshit. Stop lying. Tell the truth. Don't be aloof. Come on, man. We've got the proof. Try to get it right this time. Too many good guys doing time. Too many lives on the line. Try to get it right this time. Try to get it right this time. Cut out the bullshit. Stop lying. Tell the truth. Don't be aloof. Come on, man. We've got the proof. Try to get it right this time. Too many good guys doing time. Too many lives on the line. Try to get it right this time.
I stood up here a year ago in one of my many press conferences and told you that in the next year I make this prediction to you that over 10 million Iraqis, including many Sunnis, will vote for a permanent government. I think you probably will say, there he goes again.
We're not going to play around. We do have your phone. And if you say anything untoward, obscene, or anything like that, we'll contact your local authorities and you will be held accountable.
What, you ill-mannered sack of crap?
Tell us what you think. Call Guy James now. 1-866-546-5254.
How dare anybody call the wonderful Bill O'Reilly a sack of crap? I would like to meet Bill O'Reilly to his face someday. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you just enjoy that? I know I would. I would love to meet Bill O'Reilly. If somebody can set that up for me, please do. Oh, my, would I like that. He's got to be the most pompous ass that was... Well, no, wait a minute. Maybe not. Second. The second most pompous ass there ever was on radio. First being, of course, the drug junkie. And speaking of the drug junkie, somebody asked me the other day a question that I just couldn't answer. I like to keep up on such things. But the drug junkie over there in Palm Beach or Fort Lauderdale or wherever the hell it is over on the west coast of Florida... in his mansion. Has anybody heard anything about the court case? about the doctor shopping and the illegal drugs that Limbaugh, the mountain, the dump truck load of illegal drugs that that Limbaugh had, that he obtained illegally because of his, quote, bad back. Has anybody heard anything about that? It's just kind of just faded away. I haven't heard a damn thing about it in many months. And if any of you know anything, I know we've got quite a few listeners over on the West Coast. If any of you know anything that I've missed in the Miami Herald or anything over there, let me know. Send me an email, GuyJames to GuyJamesShow.com. I'd love to find out what the latest is on Bill Limbaugh's situation. As they say, money talks and BS walks, and you know, he hired himself, was it Black? That guy's name, Black was his name, the attorney. A good one. And maybe they've just finally done away with this investigation. I don't know. I know were it you, were it I, we'd probably be doing time by now or faced a huge fine or something, but when you have the kind of money Mr. Limbaugh has and the influence he has, and when you're able to call down the dogs, the Republican dogs, on a local Democratic prosecutor, you probably have pretty good luck at getting rid of anything that may be going against you. I don't know that to be the case, but I suspect that's what it is. I'd like to know. And so, if any of you do know anything about that, let us know. I'd be ever so grateful. Just send us an email. Link us up to anything that's been in Miami Herald over there. They covered the story very well for a while, but it's mysterious. I mean, it was all over the news, and especially on you know, in the Miami newspaper. But man, they pulled down the curtain on it. There's just been nothing for a long, long time. And of course, we don't have to wonder what happened to Mr. O'Reilly. We were talking about guys being a pompous ass. We do think he's number two behind Limbaugh. And isn't it convenient when you've got this sexual harassment suit, and we don't know how much he settled for, a considerable sum of money, I'm told. But isn't it something that you have so much money and you're sued for a sexual harassment suit, and it's pretty obvious that you must have done it or you wouldn't be paying millions of dollars? From what I've heard, it's millions of dollars. Isn't this something that you can simply go on the air as a public figure and say, I will never speak of this again? And everybody says, okay. Okay. How does that work? How does that work? Most criminals, when they have, you know, they've been in trouble for one thing or not, they're usually forced to talk about it a little later. People ask them questions. But O'Reilly says, and I will never speak of this again. And you haven't heard it again. Oh, we bring it up from time to time. And maybe others do too. I don't get a chance to listen to all the other shows. But I just find it fascinating that Fox employs a guy who pays off millions of dollars in a sexual harassment suit and said, I'm never going to talk about it again. Damn, wouldn't it be good to have problems and just say that? I'm never going to talk about it again. Well, you know. 866-546-5254. We hope you'll give us a call. We've got a lot we want to talk about today. Of course, it's kind of an eventful day. It appears to me, and to you, I'm sure, that the administration is trying to, oh, what would you say? Not remodel, but maybe redecorate the White House, putting up new curtains and some different carpet and a new lamp or two. That's what they're up to with this changing of Scotty McClellan and taking away a little bit of Rove's duties and this, that, and the other thing. You notice none of the major figures are leaving. Certainly not. And I'm of the mind that none of the major figures will leave. Now, you know, Snow may leave soon, but he's not one of major figures. Certainly not. Secretary of the Treasury has never been a major figure. So, Will the public be sucked into to buying this? That, you know, he's doing a lot to change things in the White House. They're going to chart a new course because they've got a new press secretary, and Karl Rove has got, different duties now. And it turns out the guy taking Karl Rove's place in that one capacity, Karl Rove, of course, I don't mean to imply that he's leaving the White House. He most certainly is not. He's still going to be a chief advisor to the president. But the guy that's taking his place in the one job that he had there is one of them that led the charge down here in Florida that were beating on the doors of the election office to get him to stop the count. Man, these guys, they're thick as thieves, aren't they? Don't they just hang together? Isn't it amazing? But I've gotten a lot of email in the last couple of days, and I'd love to hear what you have to say about it. You send me a lot of email. I'd like for you to call and let me know what you think about it. Do you think that Rummy's going to be gone? I don't. Personally, I don't. I don't think he has any intention of leaving, and I'll explain a little later why after we come back from the top of the hour. I don't think he's going to leave, and I don't think that Bush, other than possibly legally, I don't think he can be forced to get rid of any of these people, except as it may happen that he may legally have to. But I don't think the man knows how to admit a mistake. I don't think he would ever acknowledge a mistake. He never has. He never will. His life has been fraught with mistakes from beginning to now. And he's never paid for any of his mistakes. Other people have paid for his mistakes. You take his mistakes in the business, for example, the Arbusto and all of his great oil company ventures. He didn't take a fall in any of them. His daddy's friends, when their money, they took the losses because, well, that's what they're expected to do if you're the president's friends and you give the boy money. You know you're probably going to lose your ass. That's a given, isn't it? And so he takes what little money he gets out of that and parlays it into the Texas Rangers, and they give him a big payoff when he leaves. Man, it must be nice. Guy's born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and even despite that, you know, you got another one with a silver spoon in his mouth who's a guy like Donald Trump, okay? Donald Trump is not necessarily a self-made man. Donald Trump had great advantage coming from his father. He had a good start. His father bankrolled him, and let's all face it, a lot of people, if they had money, could make more money, and Donald Trump did that. He's been up and down financially, but by and large, Donald Trump, except for getting a good start from his father, he took the ball and ran with it, and he's kind of a self-made man. But this guy, this Junior Bush, he's had daddy priming the pump for him no matter what he's ever done. And wouldn't you love to ask George Herbert Walker Bush right now, wouldn't you like to give him a few drinks? And say, okay, George, Daddy Bush, what do you really think in your heart of hearts? What do you really think of 43's administration? Tell me, what do you think? Wouldn't you love to know the answer to that? I sure would. I would love to have the answer to that. I think I know the answer to it because of, I think of the silence that you're hearing. Oh, yes, you're hearing silence from Daddy Bush. Now and then he appears with Bill Clinton and all that nowadays, but as far as being interviewed, having Barbara Walters or anybody interview him saying, yes, my son's having a wonderful administration and all that. No, you're not hearing that, are you? Wonder why. I think we all know why. Most certainly we do. Hey, it's coming up on news time at the top of the hour. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a few. Don't go away. We've got a lot more for you coming up the second hour.
Continues. White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan has resigned. Deputy Chief of Staff Karl Rove is giving up his policy portfolio concentrate on election politics. In Texas, an appeals court dropped conspiracy charges against former House Speaker. He is still under indictment for money laundering. Chief of Staff has been lobbying scandal. Once the most powerful congressman in America, DeLay is resigning and has announced he will not run for re-election. In Alexandria, Virginia, Zacharias Moussaoui trial continues, dominated by testimony examining the mental health of the defendant. Also, some family members of 9/11 victims will ask that Moussaoui's life be spared. In New York City, 69 people were trapped for more than a dozen hours last night in two trams dangling about 250 feet above the East River. The tram's generator had broken. There were no. In Iraq, roadside bombs and shootings throughout the country killed 8 people and injured dozens. Police also found 16 bodies of executed Iraqis in Baghdad. 2 of 4 Americans charged with stealing millions of dollars in Iraqi reconstruction funds guilty. 2 high-ranking military have also been in this. In Afghanistan, 2 U.S. and 2 Canadian soldiers were wounded. Separate incidents. Okay. Violence has increased recently as the Taliban have launched a spring offensive against foreign troops. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play a car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the post. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. One of the best decisions you ever made.
China's President Hu Jintao is on his way today to Washington, D.C. after visiting with billionaire Bill Gates. Jintao is expected to talk with American officials about preventing Chinese piracy of American products, reforming China's undervalued currency, and the rising cost of oil. Coca-Cola posted a 10% increase in first-quarter profit, the world's largest soft drink. Although it changed, bottom line was boosted by gains in Asia and America. Hyundai, South Korea's largest automaker, has apologized for ongoing bribery. It's agreed to donate $1 billion to charity to ameliorate negative publicity. Light sweet crude is $72.35 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 7 points, the NASDAQ is up 8 points, the S&P 500 is
your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. cream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Oh, yeah, glad to have you back for the final hour of the program today. It's, what, coming up on 6 minutes after the hour right now. Gee whiz, did you ever hear such a energetic news cast? I don't know. I had to wonder about that one today. Anyway, I guess you shouldn't lift, give horse in the mouth, as he used to say. Quote of the day. Quote of the day. As you all know, the junkie Limbaugh, whenever the Republicans are, I always get such a big kick out of this. Whenever the Republicans are in big trouble, they head for Limbaugh's show. Now, if you ask them any other time, during the election or any other time about Limbaugh's show, they say, "Oh no, he's an entertainer. He's an entertainer." And I've called Republican office holders and complained about something on Limbaugh that they appeared on the show, and they said, "Oh no, you mean the entertainer Limbaugh? Oh no, it's not political. He's just an entertainer." But when they're in trouble, they run to O'Rushy's side because they know that 20 million or so. I think that's a lie. I think it's more like, who knows? It's a lot. Don't get me wrong. There's a hell of a lot of people listen to the Drug Junkie. And does that ever bother these people, I wonder? It would bother me if I thought I was getting my news and my political advice from a known drug junkie. I mean, it would bother me. It would. But anyway, so Rummy gets on his show the other day, and, he hopes old Rushy will help save him. I don't think he's in any real trouble, but they like things to look as good as possible. And I think the quote of the day, absolutely the quote of the day, was posted on Democratic Underground by Tandileo Schweizkopf. Posted this on Monday, and I have saved it till now. It says, "Rummy is in deep merida. This is a job for the junkie." And here's the quote. "I bet you I know what pig boy's breath smells like tonight. I'll also bet you it ain't garlic." Tandileo Schweizkopf, you win the prize for the quote of the week, I think, and I couldn't agree more. Oh, I really couldn't agree more. That's a beauty. I don't know who that is for sure. That's their pen name on Democratic Underground, but always great to read whatever that person writes, I'll tell you. If he or she is listening right now, why call me. 866-546-5254. I wanted to tell you a little story, and it has to do with what I see happening in the Republican Party. And it has to do with the radicalism that I think has infected and infested the Republican Party, and that has ruined the Republican Party. It also has helped them gain a toehold into politics that's going to be hard to break for some time to come. But nonetheless, I didn't want to tell you this story because I often think about this, and maybe you all know somebody like this too. I had an interesting confrontation with a gun nut the other day. He was walking by my office, and he saw my pictures that I proudly display of Harry Truman and Franklin Roosevelt and JFK and some other Democrats, Woodrow Wilson and who else do I have up there? Jefferson, Jackson. And he stopped and looked, and he just couldn't resist saying something. And I admit, by having those pictures displayed, I probably invite comments. And he says, "You must be, I'm a perfect stranger." And he looks at me and says, "You must be one of those effing liberals." Well, now, I'm always glad to admit that, indeed, I am a liberal, but I didn't like the tone of this guy's voice, and he was behaving in a menacing manner, and I'm not, those of you that know me, know that I'm just not the kind of guy who's going to put up with that for a moment. If he thought he would run his mouth at me that way without any problems, he was talking to the wrong boy. And after I got him down off his high horse a little bit, he stated right off that those goddamn liberals wanted to take away my guns. You know, and I know we Democrats don't all agree on this. I know that. I know it's a touchy subject for a lot of people. But for me, having been raised in a rural environment, nothing could be farther from the truth. You can have all the guns you want for sport and hunting or target practice or anything else that I'm concerned. As far as I'm concerned, you can. I don't want to take away anyone's legal guns. Now, I do have a problem with some of the weapons which are legal, the assault rifles and the like, and the automatics and all that. I'm dead set against that. But I'm not against responsible hunters. I'm not a hunter, never have been a hunter. My father was a hunter. I'll just tell you a story how I feel about hunting. I went out with my father when I think I was 10, and he finally, I was old enough, he let me target practice with the rifle and all that, and so we went out hunting. And it was on Thanksgiving morning, and we tracked some rabbits and pheasants and so forth, and finally, we came upon a rabbit, and there he is, and I shot that rabbit, to my everlasting shame. And I felt so bad. You might want to call me a weenie for this, but I felt terrible. I felt absolutely terrible because I don't eat wild game. I wasn't going to eat that rabbit. I didn't need that rabbit for any kind of sustenance for my body. And I sat there and looked at that, and I thought, what did I do that for? Why did I do that? Well, I kind of did it, I guess, because I was expected to do it. But I learned a lesson there that day that hunting wasn't for me. But I'm not one of these people that's wild against hunters. It doesn't bother me if people go out and hunt game and eat it and so forth. And again, a lot of us won't agree on that. But guys like this guy bother me. He admitted to having a regular arsenal at his home, and he wasn't going to allow any liberals to take his guns away from him. It's this kind of guy that really worries me. He belongs in a category with the Weavers and the Branch Davidians and the Klan and the Aryan Nation group. All of those people had some sort of a seething hatred for the government. And think about it. Who do they perceive as the government? Why, of course, they perceive liberals and unions and environmentalists and homosexuals, Democrats, educated people, welfare queens and their kids. That's who they think run the government. And with a perception like that, don't kid yourself for even a moment about what his house is full of guns, or what those guns are actually for. Don't kid yourself. Don't ever kid yourself about that. And I knew a guy like him once. And this all came rushing back to me the other day. This was on Sunday. His name was Rocky, this friend of mine. I worked with him. His name was Rocky, and he lived in a small town in Ohio. He had a family. He worked hard. He went to church on Sundays and had what I consider to be the largest stockpile of weapons I have ever personally seen. He lived a couple of miles away from me. His basement was full of rifles, had bars on the windows. He had handguns of all kinds. He had shotguns, assault rifles, and probably enough ammunition to supply a small army. And he once told me, flat out, that a portion of his earnings every 2 weeks went to the church, and another portion went to automatically buying more ammunition. So I asked him one day, Rocky, what are you going to do with all these guns and ammo? I know you don't hunt that much. Just what are you going to do with all that stuff? And he looks at me with this incredulous look, and he says, Guy, are you crazy or something? What am I going to do with my guns? Do you not read the newspapers? Do you not watch the news? Someday, they're coming after us, and I'm going to be ready to defend myself and my family against them. them. Who is them, I ask? Well, old Rocky blurts it right out. Why, the commies, the Jews, the niggers, the spicks, the hippie Democrats, the fags, all of them are going to come for the rest of us someday, and we're not going to just lay down for them and allow them to take over the country and steal everything we own. We're going to defend ourselves. Well, you know, call me naive, but I'd never heard anything quite like this before. Never. I was raised around reasonable people. And this was 30 years ago, but I now realize that Rocky and his circle friends were the forerunners of these militia groups that sprang up all over the country. And the truth is, most of them are Republicans who hate the government and anyone not white, Anglo, and Christian. Those are the facts. Tim McVeigh-type people. You think Tim McVeigh was some sort of an anomaly? Nope, not at all. Tim McVeigh was the product of the right-wing hate and fear machine that's been nurtured and supported by the Lee Atwaters and the Karl Rove of this world. And ultimately, it is people like Rove and Atwater and Tom DeLay and Cheney and Rumsfeld and their ilk that are responsible for the visceral hatred many Republicans have for anyone not in agreement with their deranged policies of world domination and the concentration of wealth to a very few. Those are strong words. I mean every one of them. Because I've long since learned that guys like Rocky are everywhere. Some of them you would never guess have a burning hatred in their hearts. You'd never know it. You might be sitting right beside them at church or at a PTA meeting. You just don't know. And I'm saying this as a warning to all of you who believe that when the Bush regime is gone, things will be just fine and dandy. No, things won't be just fine and dandy, because there are now many thousands of Rockies out there hell-bent upon keeping their sick agenda alive no matter how they have to do it. Whether you know it or not, we have our own Taliban right here in this country. They want to dictate to you what you can hear, what you can read, what you can see on TV, and what you can say. It's that simple. So don't think that if the Democrats can somehow back into winning elections this year, don't think that fight is over with, because it's not. Not by a long shot. There is a deep, ingrained hatred in this country for the government, for anything that helps those who fall through the cracks. For any social program, there is a deep hatred for that in this country. And it has been fostered by the likes of your Roves and your Atwaters and, yes, your Ronald Reagans. And I know the Republicans hate me for saying that, but it's the God's honest truth. And they know it. Let's go to the phones. Hello, who do we have?
Oh, Guy, when you have a bad day, I have a bad day. Your most dedicated, committed listener. It's Dave.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Really great. And I am convinced, and something that I think you have more and more coming to be of speed, and hopefully soon will be convinced of it, that much of the arrogance that they're displaying, the outrageous criminal conduct that they're perpetrating against us, they're saying, it doesn't matter what you guys think. It doesn't matter how you vote, because we control all that now. And that I feel that. I've got that feeling. I just don't think that they could be so outrageous and have so many people still willing to vote for them. You know, even those that listen to Rush and Fox. My feeling.
I think you're right, Dave. I think you're right. I'm starting to sense that myself. There's an arrogance there that... It's more than an arrogance. They're cocksure that nothing they can do, that they can do no wrong, nothing they can do is going to cause them to fall from power. I feel that from them.
Oh, the things that they can. I'm the decider. I'm going to keep Rumsfeld. He's doing just what I want him to do. We're getting rich over there in Iraq.
I'm the decider. Wasn't that a beauty?
I mean, you have no idea of how much money we are making over there. We meaning Halliburton, Bechtel, General Dynamics,
yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to, Dave, I want you to know, we're going to have a, I'm corresponding with, sorry, I don't have the name with me right now, a gentleman here in Florida. His name is Clint. He's running for office, and He's involved.
Ben Curtis, yes. Yeah,
yes,
he designed the voting program.
Yeah, we're going to have him on the show soon. We're arranging that now, and we're going to talk about this. He's running for office, and he's going to spill beans on this.
He's running against Tom Finney, the congressman who retained him to design the program.
Right.
Yeah, he'll be a very informative person for you.
Yes. So we're going to be doing that very, very, very soon.
And you had asked the question if Bev Harris was still around, and I said, yes, she's still involved with black box voting, and she still will make herself available.
Okay. Yeah, we had several people of note working on that around the country, and it kind of went away for a while and starting to come back again. I think the closer we get to the election, the more we're going to hear about it. I think Mr. Blackwell up in Ohio is being closely monitored by people in the know in Ohio to see what's going to happen there again this year. Of course, his own election is involved in it this time, so who knows how desperate he will be.
No, some of them are being exposed, and some of them are even being prosecuted, but it's for the most part, they're all protected. Like the question you asked there on Limbaugh, can he just go away and just, never was he charged with anything?
I don't know. I don't know what's happened with that whole story. It just kind of disappeared.
Well, I'd be asking it often and on the air, and we'll try to get some others to ask the question, too, at least keep some of us aware of it.
Right. Yes, we'll. Well, Dave, it appears that about midweek next week we're going to be doing our black box voting machine show, and we're going to try and arrange it on Wednesday. It's what we're shooting for right now. You never know. Schedules may change, but it's definitely going to be next week one day, so I know you'll be interested in that.
Oh, very much so, yeah. He's flyonthewall.com. People can become aware, because he's tried to tell this story. You know, he told it to an FBI agent that worked with him. He had a good FBI agent who said, this is going to blow the lid off this whole thing, and it should be out in a couple of days, and then he suddenly was subjected to a suicide in his bathtub.
Well, yeah. You never know what's going to happen this day and age in politics. There's too much at stake. There's too many billions of. We're not talking about guys taking payoffs anymore of $1,000 or $10,000 or $100. We're talking about billions of dollars at stake nowadays. And
I so much appreciate you telling it as it is, Guy.
Well, thank you, Dave.
I hope more and more people will discover you.
Well, thanks. We're trying to arrange that. Thanks so much for your call today.
Thank you, Guy.
We're gonna have the gentleman on one day this next week, and if we can arrange the time that we need. I was challenged the other day. I got some email from somebody who said that that the numbers that I had given about how good the economy, how poor the economy was. I looked them up, and actually understated the numbers. You're talking about conscientious, compassionate conservatives. It's not working. It's just not working. And it's just not working. There's no other way you can say about it. Nothing else you can say about it. Under the Bush administration, and this is by their own numbers, the number of Americans living under the poverty level has grown by 5.4 million. 5.4 million people more under the poverty level now than there was when the Bush administration came into office. I think they've had a disastrous effect on this country. Absolutely disastrous. And all of you radical fundies that send me letters every day and send me rotten emails and all this and that, I want you to know that I don't care what you say. I think you people are insane. I think anybody that can view the facts, the actual facts right now of what has happened to this country in the last 5 years, and still say with a straight face that George W. Bush has done a great job and Donald Rumsfeld is the greatest, I've got a, where did I have this? Somebody sent me a fundy website that listed the greatest. And they said this seriously, the greatest people in the history of the world. Number one, they had Jesus Christ. Number two, sit down, was George Bush. Number three was his daddy. Ah, yes. And who else was in there? Tom DeLay was in there. You've got to be, even if you're the most hardcore Republican there ever was, in order to make a statement like that, you know there's something seriously, seriously wrong with you in order to make a statement like that. Some of the most hardcore Republicans I know are now willing to say, well, George Bush may not be the best choice we ever made, but at least, you know, he's getting our Republican. You know, they're backing away from him in droves, even the most hardcore. But when these fundies send email like that I get from them, and I read you one the other day, I mean, it's insanity. That's all you can say. It's just insanity to list, you know, George Bush as one of the greatest men, second greatest man in history next to Jesus. But, you know, going back to what I was saying, this administration has destabilized the entire Middle East. They've made it a training ground for terrorists. And while at the same time almost assuring the establishment of some sort of an Islamic theocracy with close ties to Iran, and all of this in the name of democracy, this administration, not America or Americans, this administration has trampled on American values as well as Christian values. They've abandoned the Geneva Conventions. They've suspended due process. They've embraced torture. They've questioned the patriotism of dissenters. They have made a mockery of constitutionally guaranteed civil liberties in this country. And I, for all of you that are crazy enough to still have complete confidence in George Bush, I want you to think about this. And if you don't believe what I have to say about this, please, I implore you to look it up for yourself. We're giving lip service to the war on terror, and at the same time, we're harboring terrorists 100 miles away from where I'm sitting right now. Terrorists who worked for the CIA. Do you know the name Luis Posada Corrales? A CIA operative from the 60s through the 1980s. He was involved in the 1976 bombing of a Cuban airliner, a Cubana airliner. The recently declassified CIA documents revealed that he was involved in this 1976 bombing of an Air Cubana airliner. There's no media coverage of the story. And I suspect Posada will stay in custody until the end of Bush's presidency, and then he'll be pardoned, as was his partner, Orlando Bosch, who was pardoned by Bush Sr. But here we are, have this war on terror, and we pardoned one terrorist, a known terrorist, bombing an airliner, and we got another one living in Miami right now. What? How can this be? How can this be? You know, isn't there any social responsibility here? I don't know. What do we gain by all this? Are we better off now than we were 5 years ago? We've lost friends. We've lost sympathizers worldwide. Our national debt's over $8 trillion. We've got rampant corruption in our own government. Poverty's growing. The wealthy are getting wealthier. I ask you, in the name of reason, my conservative friends, let's agree, it's just not working. It is not working. You know, you have to know, if you're a reasonable person, that it's not working. Not at all. Well, we're going to pause for a break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. We'll be right back.
we're still the strongest nation in the world.
We have spent more than $1 billion a month, over $30 million a day. America will continue to depend on chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons threatening the world, leaving the bodies of mothers huddled over their dead children. Most of the 19 men who hijacked planes on September 11th were trained in America.
This crusade.
Hijacked planes.
This crusade.
Trained in America. Trained in America. Trained in America. Trained in America. Hijacked planes. Trained in America.
This crusade is going to take a while.
We are a different country than we were on September the 10th. We want to kill.
This is now the focus of my administration.
Flags are flying everywhere, worshiping the military. The way out of this recession is to grow the economy by encouraging investment in factories and equipment to make and deliver weapons of mass destruction. We will develop anthrax and other deadly diseases. Not escape the might of the United States military. We need to prepare our children to sacrifice their lives for future operations. Our war on terror has well begun, but it has only begun. It's only begun. The entire world is the battlefield.
The Lord will show the world that we're still the strongest nation in the world. I have great faith in our military.
This is an impressive crowd, the haves and the have-mores. Some people call you the elite. I call you my base.
Oh, it's true.
Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Oh, yeah, we're back. You still got time to call the program, and I hope you do. I'm willing to listen to what you have to say. Most certainly, you always get your say on this program. That's right. Hey, speaking of getting your say, let's go to the phone right now, and let's see who's with us. Hello.
Hi, Guy.
Hello.
This is Juanita.
Well, hello, Juanita.
I missed the first part of your program, but I wanted to ask a question. I get emails from some of my right-wing cousins, mm-hmm. and I got one the other day that was really different, and it's quoting, these they get from the church, it's quoting the Quran, and of course, I don't know if it's for sure, but it's talking about Iraq. It's got a lot of things in there, the history of Iraq, which to me, they look like they're true, and then it ends up with, since America's typically represented by an eagle, Saddam should have read up on his Muslim passages. The following verses from the Quran. For it is written that a son of Arabia would awaken a fearsome eagle. The wrath of the eagle would be felt throughout the lands of Allah. And lo, while some of the people trembled in despair, still more rejoiced, for the wrath of the eagle cleansed the lands of Allah, and there was peace. Note the verse number. It says Quran 9:11. God bless you all. Amen. Now, Iraq is not in Arabia, is it?
Iraq is an Arab country. It's some people like to call it part of Persia. It's kind of split.
Persia's not in Arabia, is it?
Well, the Persians like to consider themselves different, separate from the Arabian, Arabian countries, yes.
And do you think it would be Quran 9/11? I mean, the Quran is the book.
You know, the best place to go look for that is Snoops.com. You ever go to there?
Snoops?
Yeah, Snoops.com. Maybe it's ES.
No,
I'm
not
sure.
I don't believe I've heard of that.
Yeah, you go to Google and look up urban legends, and you'll see one come up called Snoops.com, and I'll bet you it's there. And they'll know whether that's true or not.
But see, this is all part of what you were talking about a little earlier about, actually, it's all the brainwashing, and we have really good people who are believing lies, you know.
Yes, it's a massive campaign, and
it's been going on a while too.
Sure it has, and they've been doing it from the pulpit. They've been doing it from and it's not right.
It carries a lot of weight down here, and
of course it does
up north too.
Of course it does, and I understand that. I know a lot of people go to church and want to believe everything that the man up behind the pulpit says, but I think we've learned in the last couple of years that that's not always true.
But they haven't.
No,
the ones. And these are, like I said, these are nice, sweet people, as a lot of them. I know my cousins are. They're
Well, if they're your cousins, they got to be nice people. Just like my cousins are really nice people. But I have some cousins, just as you do, who are terribly misinformed.
It's the brainwashing that's been going on in the pulpit. It's been going on. What's his name show?
Falwell, a couple of years ago, during right before the presidential election, a few months before the last presidential election, Falwell had a conference at his Liberty Baptist University. They had a crowd of some 13,000 ministers from around the country there, and went home with ideas, the ideas on how to get everybody brainwashed. And it's a shame, but it happened.
It is, and anyway, I just thought, I want to be sure, because I will respond, you know.
Yeah, go to that Snoops.com.
To them. I do that on other things, and of course I never hear anything back. My cousin that died that started all of this, he would respond back, and sometimes he would reluctantly agree with me, but these people, they don't.
Yeah, well,
you know,
it's always good to smack them up right side the head with the truth.
Mm-hmm. There's so much baggage. I was old Limbaugh. You know, now he's coming out about Roosevelt. FDR.
I suppose what was Roosevelt, the long lost cousin of Stalin or something?
Well, to destroy everything he did. I mean, basically, that's what it means.
Oh, absolutely.
To brainwash people into thinking that Roosevelt really got us in a mess.
Sure, sure. Oh, that's right.
Anyway, okay.
Hey, thanks for calling, Juanita.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yes. That's very strong, and you've got to give them credit. Although I despise what they've done, I will give them their due, that they have certainly learned all the secrets on how to sway the electorate and the American people to do it from the pulpit. Probably is the most devious way that they have of doing it, but you get people like a Falwell on your side. And right now, I'm not so sure that they're happy they have Falwell on their side at the moment. These guys are starting to put the squeeze on the Bush administration. They're not happy with the... You see, a lot of these Republicans and these evangelicals have not figured out yet. And I can't understand why they haven't figured out yet that all the things that the Bush administration and the Reagan administration have promised them, Roe v. Wade, they haven't done anything. They haven't done anything about it. Nothing. They railed against gay marriage. What have they done about it? Nothing. They're not going to do anything about it. They have used these issues to divide America and get themselves elected. They have no interest in these. Oh, sure. There's the occasional one that actually does have an interest in it, that crazy senator, what's his name, from Oklahoma. I can't think of his name. He's nuts. I think he really believes it. But most of these guys, they don't give a damn about stuff like that. It's all a power game. And so, like I said when I opened the show today, these Republicans have understood that they can't go to Joe Republican in the South anymore and say, well, you know, government can do... You know, they tell them government can't do anything for them. And so they change the subject. Well, yeah, maybe this war is bad, but man, them gay people, they're really bad. Yeah. Yeah, I know that we're spending money on that war, but we're spending a lot more money on them welfare queens up in Chicago. They got 14 kids in a new Cadillac. People buy those stories, and they've unabashedly pushed those stories for years, and people buy those stories. They play upon the ignorance of people, and it has worked. It has worked oh so well. It drives me crazy when I hear people walking around the country saying, you know, repeating those lines, these Lee Atwater and Karl Rove lines about the welfare queens and giving all of our money away to welfare and all, giving all of our money away to foreign aid. And, you know, you've all seen that email that circled around here again recently about all the foreign aid. We're going to tell this country and that country no more foreign aid. My God. People don't even take the time to figure out that our foreign aid, our percentage of money that we give away on foreign aid now as opposed to our GDP, is not even in the top, I think, two dozen of developed nations. And yet, these right-wingers have convinced the electorate that they're just giving our money away to everybody. Well, we're not. We're not at all. But it's worked for them. And when I talk about that, once again, I don't want anybody to think that I think we ought to mirror those efforts, because I do not. To a certain extent, we can fight fire with fire. But I hope we can win elections with the truth. I hope we wouldn't have to resort to some of the things that they've resorted to in order to get the power in this country. I would certainly hope not. I try and always be fair in this program, and you know, I've been thinking that maybe I'm not being fair about my assessment of Bush's war. I always try and look at things from both sides, and I've been saying all along that it's an abject failure. It's been pointed out to me that all depends on how you look at it, and I hadn't thought about it this way. If you look at it from the vantage point of the average American, you see that we've spent at least $250 billion that we can ill afford at the present time on Bush's war. And you'll also see that we've sacrificed the lives of nearly 2,400 of our most precious resources this country has, our young men and women. We've killed tens of thousands of innocent Iraqis and shamefully called them collateral damage. We have absolutely lost the trust and respectability of most of the rest of the world, and we've seriously damaged our military capability. There's no question about that. It's stretched so thin. So from that vantage point, it's not hard to come to the conclusion that Junior Bush's war is an absolute, complete, utter disaster. I think we can agree on that. But if you're the average neocon, you see it as something totally different. First of all, you've established what will most assuredly be a permanent presence in the heart, right in the heart of the Middle East. Many military bases built in Iraq to use in controlling Iraq, and also use the jumping off point for other obviously planned military excursions into other countries like Iran and Syria. We've installed a puppet government in Iraq and Afghanistan. After convincing the Iraqi people that they'd have the opportunity to choose their own leadership. How many of you know that we're presently building the largest U.S. embassy in the entire world in Baghdad? Now, we've got embassies in many important countries. Great Britain, France, Germany, all of Europe, South America, you name it, and we've got an embassy there. But to be building the largest embassy in the world in Baghdad, Iraq... Has anybody got a clue as to why that is? Is Iraq that important to the general welfare of the United States so as to command the largest embassy in the world in Baghdad, Iraq? And you now see us poised to go into Iran, a country of 90 million people. Wouldn't it be nice to have Iran back in the fold again? I mean, after all, we had Iran in our back pocket for a lot of years when our dear friend the Shah was in power. The guy that we held up to the world to be this kindly, benevolent, effective leader when in fact he was as brutal a dictator who ever lived. And still some Americans can't understand why Iranians don't like America. But anyway, looking at the whole thing from the point of view of an imperialistic neocon Republican, this whole thing must look pretty damn good. Oh, sure, a few have died, and a few more will as well. But what the hell are a few thousand deaths if we can establish a permanent oppressive military power in that region? Remember now, we're looking at it from their standpoint. We can control the whole thing. And Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Root and Bechtel and the boys can rake in hundreds of billions of dollars in our military-industrial complex can be prosperous for as far as the eye can see into the future. We'll get the point across to those Persians and Arabs that we are destined to control the world, and they are just ignorant bystanders. And, of course, we can't forget that we'll be doing Israel a big favor as well. Don't forget that. That may be the most important part of it all. So, sometimes I forget. There are two ways of looking at things. And if you try, and I doubt that you can do it, I cannot. But if you try, at least for a little bit, to put yourself in the place of one of these radical right-wing neocons, you might see this whole thing as a great victory for the USA. The start of world domination. What I want to know is, how far will they go with this? Just how far will they go with it? Okay, let's carry it out just a little ways. Let's say we take the entire Middle East, okay? We end up with Iran, Afghanistan, all the Stan countries, and Iraq and Syria, Saudi Arabia. We grab all the oil there is, claim it for the United States of America. Then what? You know, there are other emerging countries in this world. Number one, China. Is China going to say, okay, fine, you guys go ahead and take all the oil in the world? We'll the obvious next target, I think, after that is probably Venezuela. And as you well know, our government has already taken a stab at unseating Chavez. I don't know about Chavez. I do know he's wildly popular in Venezuela. And I do know that the latest studies have shown that Venezuela has got more oil than they know what to do with, possibly more reserves than there is in the Middle East. Now, on the one hand, that's a good thing for Venezuela, and for the economy maybe of South America and Central America. It also paints a big bullseye on that country, does it not? A big bullseye. And who's looking through their rifle scope at that bullseye? Number one, the United States of America. Number two, China. Because China is most assuredly developing a ravenous appetite for oil. And their appetite is growing exponentially. And someday, not that far into the future, their need for oil may well pass what we need right now. And then some. And so then what? Then what do these neocons have planned? That's what I'd like to know. How far are they willing to play out this game? How much international intrigue are we going to go through here while the militaristic, imperialistic faction of the Bush administration figures out what they're going to do and where they're going to go next? I wonder how far, if you were able to visit one of the meetings of the PNAC group, I wonder how far they've gone with this. I wonder if they have plans to eventually invade China. I wonder if they have plans to eventually go after the Russian oil reserves. I wonder if they have plans to eventually go after the North Sea oil reserves of Great Britain. How far are they willing to go with this? And you say, oh, Guy, don't be silly. Don't be silly. We wouldn't do that. Really? Wouldn't we? What makes you think for a moment, what assurance do you have, what indication has the Bush administration given whatsoever that they wouldn't militaristically go after any place on this earth if they wanted to? You know they got plans to build 125 new nukes every year? Can anybody please explain that to me? We're sitting on how many thousand? And we need to build 125 new, more modern nukes every year? Is there any justification for that whatsoever? Is there? It defies credulity. It really does. And so my question is, and I shall remain in wonderment about this whole thing, I would love to know, deep in the bowels of wherever these sinister people, the Cheneys and the Rumsfeld and the Bill Crystals and the PNAC group, the Wolfowitzes and the Feiths and the Richard Pearls, when these people meet and discuss their filthy plans, how far are they willing to go with it? I'd love to know the answer to that. I think it might frighten us, each and every one. Because I don't see any evidence that there's any limit to what they would try. I really don't. The talk that has come up, which is obviously truthful, there is something to it. There's more than just something to it. The talk of nuking Iran, that they've had contingency plans to do that for a long time now. I heard a general the other day say we've been talking about it for a dozen years. The idea that this country would drop a nuclear weapon on another country in anger as a preemptive strike because they were doing something that we didn't like is so foreign to me that my brain just can't accept that. It doesn't compute. It's rejected. That idea is completely rejected. And while it may absolutely be true that Iran is becoming a dangerous nation, first of all, let's remember it's becoming a dangerous nation partly because of the treachery of the United States of America toward the people of Iran. They haven't forgotten our wonderful friendship with the Shah, and they probably never will. So let's not look at that country, and I'm not saying that their guy is Ahmadinejad or whatever it is right now isn't a bad guy, and he's probably a little bit off his rocker. He looks that way to me. He sounds that way to me, along with Kim Jong-il. I don't have a lot of confidence in either one of them being completely sane. Or at least they don't mind saying some crazy things. But let's not forget that the government of the United States has been complicit. Has absolutely been complicit in some of the hatred that the Iranian people feel for the United States of America. It's shameful. It's sad, but it's true. And it's hard for me to understand that as fellow human beings on this planet, that we're on this small globe, we've all got to live here, and yeah, they don't want to hear, let's say, oh, let's just all get along. But we're going to have to. We're going to have to all get along, and we're going to have to discover some good old-fashioned diplomacy. We're going to have to learn to attack problems at the root of those problems instead of just dropping bombs. Ignorance and poverty are at the root of most problems in this world. And if we are truly going to be a leading nation in this country, if we're going to be a country that wants to lead, to take this world into the new millennium, to a prosperity for all nations, for all people to live with dignity, then we've got to learn not only to be militarily mighty, but we've got to learn how to command the might of the ink pen. Yes, the ink pen on treaties and diplomatic agreements. It behooves us to do that. As Christians, if you want to say this is a Christian nation, Christian people in this country, they're compelled to act with diplomacy. You know that's true. Well, that's about all we have today. Probably quite enough for a lot of you. I do appreciate you listening. I see we have many, many people listening to the program today, and I'm very grateful for that. We hope you will remember that we are a listener-supported program, and also say hello to everybody that listens on the archives. We have so many people listening on the archives later on. We're happy for that as well. We hope that you will find some little nuggets of information that you can find useful on this program. We encourage you to go to our website and donate a few dollars if you can to help defray the expenses of this program. I do want to remind everybody once again that you've heard from the radical right. Indeed you have. You hear from them every day. Now all that's left is the truth. Thanks for listening to the Guy James Show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.